Welcome to the Design Clinic Download. In this podcast, we dig into the experiences of Design Clinic teams and classmates through the years. I'm your host, Susanna Howe, from the Picker Engineering Program at Smith College.
This episode features three alums from the class of 2010, Taylor Bono, Katie Caproth-Garrett, and Katie Wood. Along with their fourth teammate, Etta Grover-Silva, they collaborated with NRCS, the Natural Resources Conservation Service, on the design of a solar-powered micro-irrigation system for a two-acre farm. They also developed a design calculator to size solar arrays for similar farms.
Well, thank you all for coming. I'm so excited to see you today and have a chance to walk down memory lane and hear about your experiences since graduating as you are gearing up for your 15th reunion. Crazy how time flies. So why don't we start? I'll have you each introduce yourselves and just let us know who you are and what you are doing currently.
I'm Taylor Bono, and I am currently a stay-at-home mom. I have 6-year-old twin daughters and a 4-year-old son, and I've been home with them since the twins were born 6 years ago.
My name is Katie Caproth-Garrett, and I am currently on a self-designed or self-created sabbatical, but I'm still working part-time for the same water resources consulting firm that I've worked for the last decade.
And Katie Wood.
I am currently a senior manufacturing engineer working at a company here in Maine that makes carbon-carbon composites used in high heat applications.
All right, so let's think back to before you started Design Clinic. I realize this is a while ago now. And what were your expectations coming into the class? And how did those expectations match the reality of your experience?
I genuinely did not know what to expect. I had spent my junior year abroad in London, so I hadn't seen the seniors the year before. And when I was a sophomore, I was genuinely terrified of the seniors and would never think to ask them about their project or what they were working on because I could see how much work it was. So coming in, I was genuinely nervous about the amount of work and the technical skills that would be required.
And did you find that it was as terrifying as you had feared?
Not at all. And as a senior, I loved talking to the sophomores. So I don't know why I was so scared of them as a sophomore.
I started the engineering program a little bit later. So I took a lot more courses with the grade below me. So I didn't interact with the grade above us as much to have any idea what to expect.
My first and sophomore year, I had friends who were seniors. And I remember sitting with them multiple nights, like working on my own problem sets while they worked until like, I don't even know what time, because I would clock out at like 1 or 2 in the morning and be like, I've got to go to bed, bye. And they would still be going. And so I walked into Design Clinic a little bit nervous about how many all-nighters there would be. And there definitely were some late nights, but I don't think it was quite as overwhelming as I expected it to be.
Let's shift gears and talk a little bit about what you've done since you graduated and what paths your careers and post-graduation plans have taken.
After college, I came back to Maine and I ended up working at a life safety rope manufacturing company. I did kind of a lot of manufacturing engineering of working with the equipment and building the products, but also designing the products and then designing hardware equipment that goes with it. I was there for about 10 years. And then kind of near the end of that, I was feeling pretty stagnant and actually got my PE license by taking the mechanical machine design and materials exam. I haven't used it yet, but it was an interesting process to go and get that. And then Katie, you'll like to hear that I also took a self-imposed sabbatical for 6 months after that job and loved it. Highly recommend if people have the opportunity to do that. Definitely a luxury that I got to do, but I'm glad. And then I've been at my current job for 2 years doing manufacturing engineering.
So when I graduated Smith, I was 100% sure I was going to go become a professor, and that was 100% incorrect. So I went to grad school and was pursuing a PhD, did my master's along the way. In that time, I was at Penn State, and my advisor got scooped and hired by the Colorado School of Mines. And when I went to tell her I'm not sure this is what I want to do. She said, why don't you come to Colorado with me and see if it's different there, better there. And so that was amazing. And I'm so appreciative. So she moved myself and the rest of our lab out. And I did another year of grad school there and then really realized like, nope, academia is not my future. And my advisor was amazing and connected me with another professor who had a lot of actual like hands-on consulting experience. And that professor also helped me navigate the job market in Denver. And I found a company that I worked for the last 10 years. So I did water resources, technology, and databases and websites for all kinds of water data. So both water quantity and water rights, as well as water quality.
After Smith, I moved to Washington, D.C. I had gotten a job with a consulting firm called Accenture doing technology strategy for their Department of Defense clients. Technology strategy is a pretty big umbrella. So within that, I did strategic planning, IT portfolio management and governance, really with clients across the Department of Defense. I was there for about 7 years, loved it, did a lot of traveling, worked with a lot of cool clients, kind of similar to Design Clinic in that every 6 to 12 months, I had a new project with, you know, a new team, a new work site, new challenges, new technical skills, just really, really great. I also got married during that time, which is relevant to my work life because my husband was in the Army. And so every 2 to 3 years we moved. So the first move was from Maryland to Virginia, which was great because I was based out of DC. So it did not impact my work. But our next move was to Germany. And what I did there was I leaned really heavily on my network and was able to get a job in Frankfurt with the German Bundeswehr, which is the German police, that were doing a really large multinational enterprise architecture initiative, I'll say. And I was able to go and work on that. And because it was multinational, the work was all in English, which was great because my German was and remains really, really bad. It's tough, tough language. I did that for about a year. And then I had the girls. And, you know, I could talk about deciding to leave the workforce for like an hour, but the really short version is that based on like a huge number of factors, the only way that I could go back to work was to hire a live-in nanny. And that really wasn't a decision for me. At that point, I said, I'm just going to step back. And so that's where I've been ever since.
Several of you referred to things that you learned in Design Clinic on the way. And so let's talk about that. What were some of the things that you felt were really helpful that you learned in Design Clinic that you've used since graduating or that have transferred in some way to your life after Smith?
I've been thinking about collaboration a lot lately, and I'm seeing huge differences with my coworkers and the different schools and different like senior programs that they've gone through. And I think that probably the Smith Engineering program in general, but definitely in Design Clinic, was that we focused a lot on collaboration and working together.
I'd say the communication skills we learned in Design Clinic were really helpful as I went through my career. Design Clinic was the first time when we had, not to use a corporate word, but a stakeholder who was outside of the school, right? Up until then, any projects that I had done had been me, my team, and my teacher, who saw me every day, saw me in the lab, knew how we were doing, had open office hours. You know, with Design Clinic, you bring in a sponsor and you have someone who is offsite who you really need to, like, you need to connect with them and you need to let them know what you're doing. And so a lot of the stuff that I had seen as kind of busy work, like all the status reports and the progress reports that in another project might not be as critical, was super critical in Design Clinic. And it really hammered home the fact that we need to keep everyone in the loop throughout the project. And then even within the team working, you know, you think that you see people every day, so they know what's going on and how you're feeling about the project. But like over 9 months, I think the relationship that the four of us had like really evolved. And it just involved a lot of like talking to each other, making sure we were on the same page with the project and the priorities and the time commitment. It was a huge learning opportunity.
I agree entirely with Taylor and Katie, and I think I would add the very introduction of project management in general. Like the same skills I learned in Design Clinic, I still use. They're still the foundation of the skills I use for project management today, and understanding how to take a nebulous problem and break it into bite-sized pieces. And then in terms of, I feel like the extra content that Design Clinic has, I still think perhaps the most terrifying day of my life was the day I negotiated for a salary for my first job. And it was still terrifying, but it was less terrifying because we had talked about that in Design Clinic and walked through it a little bit. It helped make it feel a little bit more approachable.
So I noticed that, you know, none of you went into careers that were exactly related to your Design Clinic project. And I'm curious if you feel that your career experiences would have been better positioned had you had a project in your senior year that was much closer to related to what you ended up doing after you graduated.
The skills that I took from Design Clinic and used in my career, it really didn't matter what project I would have ended up on because I didn't end up going into engineering, which was not intentional. I fully intended on doing civil engineering after I got out of school, and it just sort of didn't work that way. But I will say, the technical skills that I learned in our project, when I came into the project, I really did not have a background in anything that we were doing technically. And starting from scratch and getting myself up to speed, like that was very difficult. And that was a skill that I used. So being a little bit of a fish out of water with the project that I ended up on was very much to my benefit because it taught me how to learn technical skills when you don't have a ton of time, when you don't have, you know, as many resources as you might want.
What would you say was your most memorable or impactful Design Clinic experience?
I was the first PM on our team.
The first project manager.
Yes, which meant that I was the like talking with the sponsor the most at first. And pretty soon after our project started, our sponsor started sending me emails like every day of articles. Like research articles, news articles, interesting things she had found. Did I hear about this project? Did I see this? And it was all very interesting, but not directly related to what we were doing. And I was completely flummoxed by this. Like I did not know what to do because it was overwhelming. And so what I ended up doing was floundering, printing out the articles, reading some of them, sending some to the team, not saying anything to the sponsor, not saying anything to Professor Howe, just having lots of like quiet internal meltdowns about this situation. And then I got it, about 2 weeks go by and Professor Howe came to us and said very nicely, your sponsor called, what's happening, right? What's going on? And I don't know if you guys remember this, but I remember so vividly being so embarrassed by it, by the fact that I couldn't handle this. But it was such a learning opportunity for number one, for the communication purposes. I could have just told her, like, I received these emails, thank you, you know, and that would have been fine. Or I could have said, this is a little too much. Can you please stop sending them to me? But at that point, you know, in my life, I want to say, you could not have tortured me to get me to tell our sponsor, please stop sending these emails. It is too much. But that is such a vital conversation to be able to have with someone. Like in my career, I've had really difficult conversations with clients, with coworkers, with managers. And, you know, Design Clinic was the first time I had to push back against someone. And it's because Professor Howe was there, like genuinely holding my hand through this whole process. And it was so impactful to me because, you know, in the future, I had done this before and I had had someone to help me through it. So I knew it could be done. And we were able to tell our sponsor, please stop sending us these news articles. We are very overwhelmed as is. And she did. And it didn't hurt our relationship, vastly improved it from my end because I was no longer getting these panic-inducing emails. But it's just one of those things in design clinic where it's like a real life experience that really happens out in the real world, but you're in a safe space. So if you make the wrong choice or you screw up, you know, you have safeguards in place and Professor Howe to help you. So thank you, Professor Howe, for that. Many years down the road, I truly thought about this all the time. It comes up all the time in my mind. It was such a core memory of that year for me.
My only silly memory is I know at the end of the year, we needed to have our team photo taken. And our team poster is still hanging up in the design clinic lab with this photo. And I know this because I've been mentoring a Smithy who like sent me a photo of the poster with us on it. And I had forgotten this photo entirely. And I think it must have been like April or early May. And the Smith office of something contacted us and said, like, yeah, let's do photos. And they wanted it to be related to our project. And so we just went to this like random farm in Hadley. I don't even know if we went, I think we just like drove out until we were like near farmland and then like took a photo next to a sign that like has a tractor on it, I think. And like all of us had like dressed up kind of nice. And I just remember thinking, like, I don't know where this will be, like, but like, okay. And like, it just cracks me up that 15 years later, I know exactly where that photo is and everyone still gets to see it. Even if it wasn't the farm that we were actually doing work for at all.
What advice do you have for future engineering students to make the most of their Smith Engineering experience? And in particular, if you have advice specific to Design Clinic, I would love to hear that, and I will certainly pass it along to future students.
I would say to avoid burnout and remember that a 9-month project, like that is a long time. And at the beginning, I remember when we were planning out our year, I felt like we had so much time and do we really need to allot all this time to do different steps? And yeah, like you do, it really is a marathon. And by the end, I definitely felt a little burnt out, but with Design Clinic, you can certainly make your project take up a huge portion of your life if you decide to. And I would not do that. I would remember that Design Clinic is a part of your senior year. It's not your entire senior year. And just plan accordingly so that you don't get burnt out halfway through. It should really be a fun experience throughout. Like it really should be fun. I really had fun on our project, even at the tough spots. So I would keep that in mind and not burn yourself out the gate.
It's not just your first time doing the technical skills. We did tons of teamwork at Smith, right? But that is your first time being on a team that feels at all like being on a team in my normal job feels, right? Where you're together for 9 months and you should care about the relationships that you're building as much as the project itself. I think that can be a real challenge. I think I am totally a recovering perfectionist and I'm working on that all the time. You know, I wish I could be the team member then that I am now. Yeah, taking any opportunities you can to get that experience before Design Clinic. Design Clinic is a safe space. It absolutely is. And I really appreciate my teammates because I learned a lot and do a lot of things differently. But I wished I could have had those trial runs even earlier.
The other thing I would say is every challenge that I faced in Design Clinic, I then faced out in the real world, like every single one. And so when you're going through these challenging moments in Design Clinic, really treat it as a learning opportunity. It's not something to like feel ashamed about that you screwed something up. It's more something that you can learn from so that in your career or, you know, in your future education, if you come up against a similar challenge, you've already tackled this problem and you know how to do it already, and to really feel the confidence that you get from that.
Just embrace this experience, because as I think, Taylor, you were the first to say it, like, I want to say thank you to you. And our other team coach was Professor McCon, and having such a safe space for your very first project is an incredible opportunity. And to know that, yeah, even if it's not a project that will tie into your future career, it's such an opportunity to see what it's like to have so many different kinds of jobs, right? So Taylor isn't technically engineering, but like I have my PE too, and I don't think I've ever used it. Same with Katie. And like, I think you could do design clinic and go out into the world and do project management that's unrelated to engineering or product management or so many team management, so many different things that depend on these skills. Like, I wish design clinic has so many foundational skills for so many areas that I wish it wasn't just engineering specific. Like, I think these are skills that you almost would benefit using and having in any career. I want to say thank you, and I hope future students get to take advantage of that.
That's also something I highlight in interviews or when I'm talking to people. I talk about how different our engineering program was, and partly that it was mostly female, but that it was very well-rounded, that it was engineering within a liberal arts environment, that we focused on communication and presentations and writing and all of these other aspects, as well as the hard engineering skills.
I would love to talk a little bit about stepping away from the standard career track, because all of you have done that in one way or another. And it's in some ways counter to maybe your initial expectations of how your career would unfold. And I'm curious what led you to make those decisions? What did you learn from the experience of stepping away? And does that make you think differently about whether and how to step back in?
I never thought that I would be a stay-at-home mom. That was never really in the plan. Making the decision was not super difficult just because of what was happening in life. Being in Germany, I was traveling internationally for work until I got pregnant. I had a very high-risk pregnancy with lots of very scary hospital visits. So I had already started phasing out from work because I kind of saw the writing on the wall with regards to maintaining my work schedule with two newborns, even after maternity leave. You know, I started thinking about what's it going to be like in a year when I have to travel internationally and my husband, who is in the army and therefore cannot say no, is also being sent internationally. Like, what's going to happen? So when I stepped back from work to be a stay-at-home mom, I really did step back. You know, I really have been like very committed to being a stay-at-home mom. Like, I really leaned into that lifestyle. And I have always, from the beginning, said that once my kids are in school, I'll go back to work. But the question now is, okay, what does that mean? Like, going back to work. So I'm at a very much a transitional point. Like, I think that in 1 year, I'm going to be doing some very different things. I'm just not sure what it will be quite yet.
We've also all done like the not very millennial thing that we've all stayed at jobs for quite a long period of time or in positions for quite a period of time.
I'm glad you brought that up because that's not so typical now.
Yeah. And taking that 6 months off for me was really scary, but really wonderful. And even coming into the position I'm in now, I think I told myself that I'm okay if this is not a 10-year job and that 2 to 5 years is reasonable.
There are a lot of people who are incredibly fortunate that their jobs are also their vocations or their passions, right? I think, Professor Howe, it seems like you've got, you know, gotten to have that. And I'm like, I love that. And I would love to have that someday. I really liked what I was doing and liked the people, but I knew that that's not what I had. There are parts of my job that are super geeky that I miss doing. Like, I loved being in databases, which I would never have expected. I honestly, at Smith, I don't even think I really knew what a database was. So I miss some of that. And I definitely miss like the teamwork and the collaboration. But I'm not sure what will be next and when.
Well, I think whatever is next for all of you, you are unbelievably well prepared. And I can just see you tackling it with grace and with ease. And I wish for you that you will find rewards and happiness in whatever unfolds next in your life chapters.
Thank you, Professor Howe. I was so excited to get the email. I've loved listening to all the other podcasts as well. I think it's so fun to hear what everyone's been up to and the projects that they've been doing also. So thank you for doing the podcast and reaching out to us.
This has been super fun. Great to see you.
Thank you so
Bye.
Much.
Good to see you all.
Bye. Bye.